Okay, let's start with the title. And I'm going to begin with a little analogy. In the medical world, we all talk about cholesterol. You know, the doctor tells you you have to watch your cholesterol. But if you start getting into details, they tell you there's good cholesterol and there's bad cholesterol. Y'all familiar? The same thing, you want to keep your good cholesterol up and your bad cholesterol down. The same thing, there's certain topics in the Bible, in Chumash, where there's certain tension between different ideas. And some tensions, it's not just in the Bible, some tensions in life as well, some tensions are very bad for you. They cause you to lose your hair, they cause you to be angry, stressed, etc. Some tensions, though, are very, very helpful and help you grow. And as we study the Bible a lot, we're going to find a lot of tensions that are built in, like Midat Adin, Midat Harachamim, if you're familiar with that from the High Holidays. You know, in the story of creation, there's first chapter, second chapter. You know, what's man? Is man part of the animal kingdom and part of a, you know, a religious part like God? These tensions that come up a lot in Chumash, many times, first have to recognize, but sometimes these tensions are very helpful and they help you grow. We're going to return to that topic as we go on. Now we'll begin with our opening question again. If someone asked you, what Shmini Atzeret about, like the eighth day, because it's called the eighth day, we assume it's the last day of Sukkot. But who can tell me? You can tell me with your in the chat box as well. Who would like to know? Give me some reasons why it's not the seventh. Why it shouldn't be considered the last day of Sukkot. What makes it not part of Sukkot? You can put a chat in or tuck it in. Actually, I gave some away, but give me some good reasons why it's not part of Sukkot. And you can type in, answer, yeah, okay. Fazar Kashav, I'll explain what Jay's talking about. That's a little acrostic that the rabbis have in the Gemara. One of them has to do with the animals, we'll see, the offerings that are brought in the Beit HaMikdash are different, but just give me, those are the complicated ones. Give me a real simple reason why it's not part of Sukkot. The most obvious reason why it's not, I'm emphasizing the word. Why isn't it part of Sukkot? Okay, exactly. Sukkot, we sit in a sukkah. And on Shmini Atzeret, you're not allowed to sit in a sukkah. In Israel, for sure. In Chutzlars, it's a big problem. You can't decide what day it is. But in general, yeah, exactly. We don't sit in the sukkah, and therefore it can't be part of Sukkot. And 7 days is long enough. So what's this extra eighth day? So everyone knows Rashi. Rashi explains right away. What's this Atzeret? It's like, we had this big party. I compare it to a cap party or a staff party. If you ever put on a play or been part of a play or some type of production, so you have, you're all excited, you put on the production. When it's all over, the production's over, like the last day, you have what's called a cap party. Everyone who was involved in doing something has a little get-together. Like all the friends, all the people who work very hard. In that sense, what Rashi brings down is this, we've been having this universal celebration, like in Jerusalem today. There's traffic jams everywhere because there's this international parade from all over the world. All people from all nations come and celebrate Tabernacles, Sukkot in Jerusalem. It's a beautiful thing. And Sukkot is known as a universal holiday, an international holiday. Why, hopefully I'll talk about later on. But the last day, Rashi explains, is basically, let's have our little staff party. Everyone's gone, everyone went home. And now, for my people of Israel, we're going to have a special little party. Stand Shmini Atzeret. But in that sense, it sounds like, again, the last day of Sukkot. The other thing, again, that it's not part of Sukkot, there's no Lulav and Etrog. Jay mentioned in his acrostic, there's no, we make a Shekhiano, it means it's a new holiday. Kiddush will be a little bit different. Not Kiddush, but we had Shekhiano and Kiddush, etc. On the other hand, it's called Shmini, the 7 days of Sukkot, and Shmini. So all those together, we'll try to get moving. That'd be our opening question. And our second opening question is what the word Atzeret means. And as Rambam brings down, and a lot of commentators bring down, there's two basic meanings of Atzeret. We're going to add a third possibility. One is, like Rashi explained, sort of to hold back for another day. If you know modern Hebrew, if someone's having trouble with his stomach, it's called atzirut. Atzirut means you're not able, you have to hold yourself back, sort of. Or atzor in Hebrew is a stop sign. Okay? A matzar on your gun in the army, and holding your gun from working. But the word atzor means basically to, it means sort of like to hold back a little bit. The other possibility is, atzeret also means, sometimes in the name, it means like a big gathering. And the truth is both meanings, either meaning doesn't contradict each other, they pretty much complement each other with an E, because we definitely have to gather on that day, it's a mikra chodesh. On the other hand, it's definitely sort of the last day of Sukkot, it's like the last day, not just of Sukkot, what we're going to see, we're going to suggest it's the last day of the high holiday season. And what we're going to do in the first part of this year is to explain what we intend to understand Shmini Esrei as a Lent, sorry, Rosh Hashanah. That was our question. Is the last day of Sukkot or Rosh Hashanah? We're going to prove it, our source sheet, from Parshat, one is going to be from Parshat Emor, one from Parshat Simcha. I'm going to take the easy one, on the source sheet, on the second page and third page. We're going to begin with what it says, Bamidbar Perach Chavtes. It's only something very simple. This is what we read basically every day for the Torah reading on Yom Tov. Every day in the Beit HaMikdash, whenever there was a Yom Tov, there was a special Musaf offering, an extra sacrifice that was brought. And the format on every holiday is very, very similar. But within each format, there's some small changes for every holiday. What's the format? The format is we bring a Ola offering, and a small chatat offering. The chatat is always a series in the chatat. The nation of Israel always brings an ola offering and a chatat. The chatat is always the same. But the ola offering has three parts. It has some cows, a par. It has a lim, rams, and it has chasim. It has chasim or sheep. Now, what number do we bring? If you remember, on Rosh Chodesh, we bring two parim, two cows, one ram, and seven sheep. And same thing on Chag HaMatzot, on the Passover holiday, similar Korban, and also on Shavuot. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we have a very special Korban, which is unique to those 2 days, where you bring only one par, one aisle, and seven klotin. If you take a look in Bamidbar Chavtes, that's what I have on the source sheet, I have it highlighted. On the first day of the seventh month, you bring one par achad, which is highlighted, aisle achad, and seven klotin. And on the tenth of the month, which is Yom Kippur. Again, you have the same thing. And Pasachet, you cross them, Olal Hashem, Rech Nechach, Parachad, Zembakar Achad, Ayel Achad, Fasim B'nei Shana Shiva. And then on Sukkot, I'm sure if you know, you've been davening Shmoneh Esrei every day in Musaf. On Sukkot, what happens? All of a sudden, one part, two parts, the first day of Sukkot, we brought 13, the next day 12, 11. Instead of one ram, we bring two rams. Instead of seven sheep, we bring 14 sheep. Every day of Sukkot has a very big korban. And you expect that on the eighth day of Sukkot, Shmini Atzeret, we bring a similar korban, or in that type of framework. Instead, what do we find? Look in Pasuk Lamed Hey. V'yom HaShmini Atzeret Yelechem, Kom Lech Lo Tatsu, Yikraftem Ola Yisherech Nechoach Lashem, Parachal Aylachad Fasim B'nei Shana Shivat Mimim. Which is exactly the same korban as Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So if we find 3 days in the month of Tishrei, which are unique in the offering that's brought, and no other holiday has that offering, which means Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeret all share the same offering, that pretty much gives us a very nice hint that there's something, some connection between Shmini Atzeret and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What would be the connection? That's going to be the next part of the shir. Let's go back now to the back of page, to Vayikra Chav Gimel, where we have the holidays a little more detailed in Parshat Emor. But I want to pay attention to a key word which is called Ach. Aleph Chaf. Ach is hard to translate. And many times in Chumash what you're going to find, small little words that can mean different things at different times. And I like the word Ki. It's classic. Ki can mean a lot of different things. The word Ach can mean several different things. But they always come, when the words come, some type of connection. So let's take a look in Perek Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, from the top of the page. Look how the seventh month is introduced. What I'm going to show you is how the seventh month is not just the seventh month, but it's something very special. There's holidays about the seventh month. We're going to read from Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Vayetav Hashem Moshe Lemor, Daber Bnei Yisrael Lemor, V'chodesh Hashvi V'chad HaChodesh, Yeh Lachem Shabbaton, Yichron Tzra, Mikra Chodesh. We don't say Bechad, we don't say on the first of the seventh month. We say, in the seventh month, on the first of the month. Notice the difference? We don't say, on the first of Tishrei. We say, in the month of Tishrei, on the first of the month. We have a special holiday we call Rosh Hashanah, Chumash called Zichron Tzura. We blow a shofar, we remember God, God remembers us, etc. Okay. Then, look at Pasuk Chavav, when we introduce the laws of Yom Kippur. Da'adabar Hashem Moshe Lemor, Ach! See the big word, Ach? Ach besor l'chodesh hashvi hazeh. Even on the 10th day of this month, notice how the 7th month is called, chodesh hashvi hazeh. Even on the 10th, we did something on the 1st day of this month, and now we're going to do something on the 7th day, on the 10th day of this month. Okay? It's Yom Kippur. Then when we get to Sukkot in Pasuk Lamed Gimel, v'dav Hashem Moshe Lemor, daber b'nei Yisrael Lemor, v'chamishasa l'chodesh hashvi hazeh, again, the 7th month, we have the 7 days of Chag HaSukkot, and the first day, Yom Rishon Mikra Kodesh, not to do any work. Pasuk Lamed Vav, Lamed Shivat Yemin Takriv L'Shel Hashem, 7 days bring a special offering. Ubiyom Hashmini Mikra Kodesh Yelechem, Yikrafte Mishel Hashem Atzereti, Ubiyom Hashmini Atzeret. Then something very interesting happening, almost strange. Look at Pasuk Lamed Vav. We have a summary pasuk. Eilu mo'adei Hashem asher tikru otam mikrai kodesh, lakri v'shel Hashem olam mincha atzevach mitzachem dvar b'yamo, dvar shaptot Hashem. Pasuk Lamed Zayin and Lamed Tet and Lamed Chet summarize the holidays and we give a perfect ending. And then all of a sudden in Pasuk Lamed Tet something really strange happens. Again we find the word Ach, like we forgot something. Again Pasuk Lamed Tet, Ach, v'chamishat tzav yom v'chodesh hashvi v'chem et tfot ha'aretz t'chok v'chag Hashem shivat yamin, v'yom rishon shabbaton v'yom hashmini shabbaton. And then take on that holiday, on the first day, take the four, the Arba meaning, the Priya Tadar, Kapot Samarim, Barabot Barabay Nachau, Rishmat Hashem Elokechem, Shibat Emin. And then have a holiday of 7 days. For some reason, Sukkot is presented twice. The second time it's presented, with the word Ach, right, introduces a second time, even on the 15th day of the 7th month, when we gather our produce, make this holiday of 7 days, on the first day Shabbaton, on the 8th day Shabbaton. And then bring the four minim, which have to do with agriculture, probably have to do with water, we'll see soon. Why is it that the holiday of Sukkot is presented twice, and what's this special word Ach coming to do? It seems to me that the word Ach is coming to connect all the holidays of Tishrei together. And this is going to take us to the tension, which the holiday of Sukkot has in general. If I want to try to identify what's special about the holidays of Tishrei to the exclusion of Sukkot, what's common to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? We discussed that in our earlier shiurim. I'm trying to use this shiur to tie them all together. Our earlier shiurim discussed how the what we call the high holidays, or what Chumash called Chagei Tishrei, or Achodesh Hashvi, the holidays of the seventh month, they're in anticipation of the year to come. Meaning, the outcome of the forthcoming year, who's going to live and who's going to die, is ordered by the amount of rain that's going to come in the 8th month, and the next month coming up. And ancient men had all these different reasons, especially would attribute it to many different gods. What Chumash needs to tell us is that the fate of the year to come, especially its rain, is in the hand of our God, the one God, the God that we're representing. To show God that we recognize that our fate is in His hand, the whole seventh month is a month of Din, a month of judgment. Because we know we're about to be judged. Instead of saying nature's going to judge us by its whims and ways, we're saying God is judging us. And we're saying God is judging us based on our deeds. And therefore, in many ways, the entire seventh month, not the day, but the month, the seventh month, affects the first 22, 23 days, which is almost the majority of the month, we are sitting and worrying about the year to come. And we're declaring to ourselves, and reminding ourselves, declaring in front of God, we recognize our faith is in the hands of God, and it's the function of our deeds, and therefore we have to have all the tshuva beforehand of our repentance to be ready for that time of judgment. On the other hand, that's That's the holidays of Chodesh Tishrei. And I think what closes that holiday season is Shmini Atzeret. And that's why Chazal tell us, Shmini Atzeret, what do we judge for? We're judged for rain. Everyone remembers from Shul, that's when we have Tefillat Geshem, when we ask for rain for the year to come. If you remember also in Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, his prayer, when he finally went into the Holy of Holies, was about rain. Now, that's the holiday, in that sense, Shmini Atzeret is the last day of this month of judgment for the year to come. Sukkot, on the one hand, is part of this Tishrei holiday. On the other hand, it's also part of the Shalosh Regalim. Where did the Shalosh Regalim, the three pilgrimage holidays, they relate more so to the year that, not to the year that's coming up, but more so to the year that just passed. If you go back to Pasuk Lamed, it says, "Af b'chamishas ayom l'chodesh ha'shvi hazeh, l'chodesh ha'shvi, but v'chem etzvot ha'aretz, l'chodesh ha'shem." We're going back again now to the agricultural side, about the time of year when we gather our grain from last year's produce. Why, what we talked about last week's share, is why it makes sense to remember our desert experience, whose purpose was to make sure we don't become too haughty in our prosperity, so that our prosperity, we use it wisely, and shouldn't turn to cause affluence and haughtiness. That's why it makes sense to remember that historical aspect during this time of the year. But Sukkot, we explained, is primarily a time when we thank God for what we received. We thank God for the produce that we had over the summer. And from that point of view, Sukkot is thanking God for the year that passed. It's produce. Just like Shavuot was thanking God for the grain that we collected. So those two holidays, Shavuot and Sukkot, are thanking God for the year that passed. But at the same time, because our calendar sort of overlaps, and the end of last year is already, we're anticipating the year to come, so Sukkot, double identity. What's a double identity? On the one hand, it's a time where we're thanking God for the harvest we have, but it's also in the month of Tishrei when we're worried about the year to come. And when we mentioned briefly last week, and that's our point today, this, we see this in our daily davening on Sukkot, where we say Hallel and thank God for all the produce, all the good He's given us, the Samachta B'chulato, the Samachta B'chalakev, we're thanking God for all the good He's given us, and that's why we say Hallel on Sukkot. We don't say Hallel on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So on that sense, we're thanking God for the years of past, but also on Sukkot, we also say Hoshana. We're asking God for help. Remember, Hoshana L'mach L'kenu Hoshana. If you look at the Hoshana, especially on Hoshana Rabbah coming up this week, the seventh day of Sukkot, then our main prayer is, help us for the year to come. So there's this tension in Sukkot between two different ideas. Where on the one hand, we're thanking God for the year that passed, and the second time, we're still in Tishrei, where we're still worried about the year to come. And that tension, where on the one hand, you have to be always aware and thankful for what you've received in the past. But at the same time, when you're thanking God for the past, always being ready for the next season coming up. And reminding yourself that even though last year was okay, I have to worry about the year to come. Or maybe if last year was better, so hope for the year to come. That tension helps build a person's character, I think, on Sukkot, and it's a very much building experience, where at the same time, and in modern Jewish holidays we have that also, for example, Yom HaTzmaut, when we celebrate our independence, we have the day before and a fast day, Memorial Day. The same thing we have in Purim. Before we celebrate Purim and our victory, we have a fast day, Tanit Esther. So those types of tensions where we thank God, always remembering the weaker side, I mean the prayer side, and our doubts and our worries, at the same time when we're rejoicing, I think balance each other out very nicely in the holiday of Sukkot, and that's why there's so many korbanot, and everything is double. Sukkot on the one hand is a Tishrei holiday, that's why there's two parim in one aisle. And that's it's also a Shalosh Regalim holiday, so we have a par and an aisle for each, and that's why we have so many, that's why the Elim are doubled, the Kfasim are doubled, and the Parim, we had more than that to get to the 70 nations, we have 70 Parim altogether. So if you look on our source sheet, on page 3, on the third page, about the Tishrei holiday, it's the thematic connection between all the three, of Rosh Hashanah and Kippur and Sukkot, and especially Shmini Atzeret. It's the Tishrei holidays are in anticipation of the year to come, and Sukkot has its double nature, thanking God for what we had last year and worried about the rain of the year to come. That explains why Anshmini Atzeret, the Shilat Geshem, and it closes the cycle of the holidays, which is like an Atzeret coming them together. I want to conclude the shir with, I want to use what we did in the shir today to try to understand a very beautiful Ramban. Ramban on the topic that we just read in Vayikra. He quotes Rashi with Atzeret, with it, in Pasuk Lamed Vav. What's Atzeret? He quotes Rashi, you know, I'm having a staff party. All my workers stay behind one more day. And Ramban explains, well, Derech Emet, by way of truth. He says, Kishesh Yemim Asashka Met Hashmayim Met Haaretz, V'yem Hashvi, Shabbat, Ben Do Ben Zug. U'Knesset Yisrael Hu Ben Zugo. Yeah, what's number eight? Ramban says something which sounds very strange. He says, there's 6 days, there's 7 days of creation. The first 6 days of creation, every day has a pair, has a Ben Zug, has like a partner. We'll return to that in a minute. But there's one day of creation, because it's an odd number, that doesn't have a partner. Who's that? The seventh day of creation doesn't have a partner. And therefore, God needed to create a partner for the seventh day. And who's that partner? That's the people of Israel. That's Am Yisrael. God made the Sabbath day, and he has a partner for the seventh day. Sort of the eighth day of creation is the people of Israel. That's why a Brit Milah is on the eighth day. Now, what's this idea of pairs in creation? We're going to be reading on Simchat Torah, the beginning of Bereshit, and there's something really interesting. I don't know if you had time to print out Tim 9, but you don't need to. If you have it, I have Tarek Aleph from Bereshit. This is something everyone knows. I want to talk about, for 2 minutes, what are these pairs of creation? What are these pairs of dates of creation? It's not 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5, and 6. It's something very different. If you ever follow creation, every act of creation begins with the famous phrase, Vayimra Elohim. Vayimra Elohim Yehi Or, Vayimra Elohim Yehi Rakia. Now, I want you to tell me, okay, if you had to define, what did God make on day one? Tell me what did God make. And what follows Vayimra Elohim? I'll do the first one, and you'll do the other one. The first one Hashem made was Or, right? On the first day, God made Or. Okay. What did God make on day two? Someone want to write it in real quick? Make sure people are still awake. What did God make on day two? You can write in chat or say it. You can put in Jay if you want, or Dan.
Oh, that's it wasn't quite a full day of completion. The division.
Okay, okay. It wasn't complete, but whatever follows the there's a pattern to creation. It's real simple. It begins with a command to do something, always followed by an execution, either by Hichen or Vayas. Followed by an evaluation, right? You know, God said it was good or wasn't good. I mean, was good or usually it's an evaluation. And then something extra, and then Vayer, Vayvoker, we conclude it. Now, day two is Rakia. What's day three? Remember? Yikavu ha-mayim ha-shem itachad ha-shamayim v'tzereh ha-yavasha. On day three we have Yavasha, the ground. Now, remember that. Day one was light. Day two, what did the Rakia do? The Rakia separated between the water above the Rakia and the water below the Rakia. The water above was called Shamayim, and the water below was called Mayim. Yamin. Day three was Yavasha. Now, what was day four? Oh, day three was Yavasha. What's day four? Okay, the sun and the moon. What was Chumash called the Me'orot. Okay? Yimorot Rakia Shamayim. Okay? How about day five? Remember day five? Day five, we move to the in day one, two, and three, we have what's called the first part of day three. We have what's called the domain, the non-living thing. On day three, the second half of day three, we began the tomea. Okay. But what happened on day five? We have the animal kingdom, but not the entire animal kingdom. Which part of the animal kingdom was day five? Anyone remember? What do you mean by the water? Not the water was made already. Okay. Which animal kingdom? Okay. Which animals were made on day five? Two categories. What? Non-mammals. Okay, so they were there. We call them, yeah, fish and birds. Fish or fish and fowl. What? Fish. For some reason, fish and fowl are on day five. And then what does God make on day six? Then he makes the mammal, right? Or the Yeah. I saw mammals, that's it. Something like that, no? God makes the mammals on day six, and then he makes man. Now, do you notice how they match? What days match what? What day matches day one? Is there any day of the six that matches day one? God makes or on day one. Yeah? Okay, one and four match perfectly. Why? God says Yehi or, and in day five, Yehu Ma'orot, Rekia Shemayim. Okay? What matches day two? Where God made the Rekia that divided the water above, Shemayim, and the water below, which became Yamin. That's simple now. What's two go with?
Fish. Fish and fowl.
What? Yeah. Yeah, fish and fowl. Two and five go together. Okay? Yeah, two goes with five for a very simple reason. Remember, what does the Rekia do? If you look at the words inside, it's like right on the mark. If you read Bereshit inside, on day five, it says, "Vayimarim Yishutzu Amayim Sher Tefesh Chaya," the mayim, Yitzchanah, and then V'Of Yofeis Al Aretz Al Pnei Rekia Shamayim. Now we have Of Yofeis, we have the fowl flying in the Rekia Shamayim, and the mayim, you have the dagim in the mayim. But for some reason, there's no animals yet. Why? Because on day two, we only have the Shemayim, and we have the Yamin, but we don't have the Yavasha yet. When did God make Yavasha? That was only on day three. And therefore, what matches day three? What matches day three is day six. Remember? Day three, day six. I don't know if you're ever familiar with that, but the pairs of creation are beautiful. Day one goes with four, two, and five, and three, and six. If you have time to look at it, it's like really neat, because day three has two parts of creation. Day three is the Yabasha, and then we have the Tzomeach. We have Tachet Desha Eitzem Azriya Zeri Tzfil Tzepri. We have the grass and the fruit. And on day six, when God makes man, man gets to eat the fruit, and the animals get to eat the Desha. It works like a charm. Now, but what's this idea of pairing? What's the difference between Or in day one and Morot in day five, in day four? If you look at day four, something happens in creation. Remember, every day God said, let there be something. Gives execution, gives a command and it's executed. But in the command to make things, something changes in day four. I'm going to read it slowly. If you look at creation in the first 3 days, God makes things. He makes what they are. Beginning with day four, they have purpose. Right? It's not just or. It's Ma'orot Vayula Otot L'Modim L'Amim L'Shanim. Okay? And he has, later on he says, the Mora Gadol Vizam Shelat HaLayla. Right? The sun's going to rule the day, and the moon's going to rule the night. All of a sudden, the things that were created in their simple state in day one, two, and three, all of a sudden have purpose, are giving meaning to what he created in day four, five, and six. So day four, now we give meaning to Or. In day five, before we had a sky and we had a sea, now things live there. Remember? And they get
all right. I hope this is just a temporary glitch, but at least it took till the end of week four for this. Menachem, do you hear us, or are you, like, totally lost?
Looks like he lost power.
Okay, he's coming back. He's coming back.
Okay, we're back on. Okay. Yeah. We're back. Okay.
We had to have at least one major glitch, otherwise it wouldn't be.
Yeah, but that's sometimes the what do you call it? My line sometimes gets dead sometimes. It's been a problem the last couple of weeks in our settlement. It has the phone line there. You hear me okay now? Okay, we'll finish up. Also, we're supposed to finish by 1 o'clock today. So we'll finish up quickly. But that pairing is like really neat. Now, and all of a sudden on day 6, God makes man with a purpose. Man has a purpose. Means the things in day 1, 2, and 3 have purpose, but God fills them up with purpose in days 4, 5, and 6. In the same way God creates the Sabbath. He rests on the Sabbath day. That's a good question. Is it seventh day a day of creation or not? Is rest required to make creation happen? But if the seventh day God rests, what gives meaning to the fact that God rested? How do we find purpose in God's resting on day 7? That's the people of Israel. God creates the people of Israel to give meaning to God's day of rest. And that's man's job, is to sort of rule over what God created. The people of Israel's job is to give meaning to God's action, to God's creation. So the eighth day sort of puts what was done before and puts it into motion, gives meaning, gives expression to it. And that's why the number 8 is going to be what Kabbalah said. If the 7 days of creation, God makes nature, a nation was created by God to find meaning, to recognize that, and find meaning in what God created, and that's the Jewish people. So therefore, the number 8 is always going to be in addition to 7. If all the holidays, remember we talked about how the number 7 always relates to agriculture and the idea that God's the God behind nature. If we're going to have holiday after holiday with 7 days of Chag HaMatzot and 7 weeks to Shavuot and then 7 days of Sukkot, and if we're going to use the number 7 to remind ourselves that all what appears to be many different gods of creation is really one God and we created it for a purpose, if we want to close it all up with one finale and remember why the Jewish people were created, and how it's we're the staff working for God. So the eighth day, number 8, gives us special meaning. And that's why really what happens on the last day of Sukkot, you know, there's a special halakha that we leave the Sukkah at the end of the seventh day of Sukkot, that we bring our kelim, our utensils, into the house. In essence, we're not leaving the Sukkah, we pretty much take the Sukkah and bring it into our home. Because Shemini Atzeret is dying, that's just an ending, but it's a transition. Remember how, if it was 7 days of Sukkot was to get us ready for life in the land of Israel. So day 8, is basically we leave the Sukkah and coming to our homes, or we're leaving the desert and coming to the land of Israel. And if you remember, the first thing we did coming into Israel is we surrounded Yericho for 7 days. Remember that kafot we do? On Shemini Atzeret or on Simchat Torah? That kafot is very similar to Yericho, which is our entering to the land of Israel. And that balance of taking the Sukkah into our home, or can we take the lesson that we learned over Sukkot, that to remember that there was a time when God, we lived in a miraculous way, can we take that message and remember that even though we're living with nature, to see those miracles behind nature, and not to need to be in a miraculous environment to see God all the time, but to find God in nature in day-to-day life, that's the lesson we're supposed to learn from Sukkot, and we just can't leave the Sukkah without some segue, some way to go from this desert environment back into our day-to-day life and beginning of the year. And therefore, this eighth day doesn't just end Sukkot, it ends the whole Tishrei holiday, but it's a nice, smooth transition from the not leaving the Sukkah, but taking the Sukkah and everything it represents into our home. And hopefully we become a pair, sort of like a staff, as I began with a staff party. God said, it was your job to make me king over you. Now it's your job. You were my agent. You declared that on Rosh Hashanah, in Yom Kippur, you declared that the king, that was the God that we're representing, he's the king over all mankind. He's the only God. We declared his kingdom. And then hopefully it worked, and therefore we had this universal international celebration on 7 days of Sukkot. And we're hoping that our message was heard by the world, and we've been successful. And now on the eighth day, everyone's gone home. And that's, I think, goes back to what Rashi's saying. God's not saying, just stay one more day for Yom Tov. He says, you did my job. You're my staff. You made me king. You brought this message to mankind again, and it worked. And they all came on Sukkot, and everyone came to Yerushalayim on Sukkot. Everyone's celebrating this international holiday. Now that you've been successful, one last day for sort of a staff party or a cast party, and then we're ready to get into our mundane of day-to-day life through the winter. And that sort of closes our holiday season and brings us back to, it takes us from the Sukkah through Shemini Atzeret back into life. And that's why what's cute about Shemini Atzeret is the only holiday with nothing special about it, other than And every holiday has something special. Rosh Hashanah, we blow shofar, Yom Kippur, we fast. Sukkot, we sit in the sukkah, Pesach, we eat matzah. Shavuot, we bring shtei alechem. But Shemini Atzeret is the only holiday with no special mitzvah. And that's sort of, everyone knows the thing. What's special about it is there's nothing special about it. And that's what's so special. It's just the Jewish people with God and sort of summing up the holiday season that this completed. And now, before we go, leave our sukkah and come to our home, we need this transition holiday that puts it all together for us and time to think and to appreciate and get ready for the year to come. Any questions we'll take, but Jay has to leave early and he has to leave early.
I just want to...
If any questions, you can either chat him or... Yeah.
Wait, I just want to...
Okay, go ahead, Jay.
Okay, no, hey, I want to thank you for kicking off, you know, Eat Him. This sort of ends our first block, and we'll look to continue. We're going to send an email to all the people who registered, some of whom are not here today online, just to see in terms of going, you know, of going forward ideas. I know Menachem would prefer if people would get a webcam so he could see you. And we're going to talk about these things in the future. Are people against them, you know, philosophically or just like practically they're not comfortable? And of course, you know, come after in November, we're going to have, you know, like more than one class. We're going to have evenings, a couple evenings where we have, you know, as I think many of you know, five or six people who've already agreed to give classes, and we'll put together a whole schedule. But we'll probably keep you in this time slot, Menachem. If it works for you, the Tuesday 12:30, we'll keep that slot with you. And I just want to thank you and wish everybody a good Yom Tov. Anybody else is free to comment. I'll keep quiet now. Either you can comment by the speaker button or in the chatter button. Thanks a lot. Mo'atim l'simcha.
Okay. Anyway, thanks everyone for listening. Another question we should ask is how long, what's the ideal length of the shiur?
Can you hear me?
Who's, yes?
I just wanted to make sure that I understood the significance of Ach. Was that like Ach was making the connection for Sukkot being part of two cycles, the past and the future?
Exactly. Using the word Ach, I'm telling you that the holiday of the seventh month, of Chodesh HaShvi Hazeh, it relates Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur and to Sukkot, and hence to Shemini Atzeret. And it sort of tells you that they're connected. They're not just, it just happened to be in the same month. They all carry the same theme, they all share partially the same theme of Chodesh HaShvi.
So, Yom Kippur also has Ach.
Exactly. Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah begins it. Yom Kippur had Ach connected because we explained how Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah work as a team. They're you know, one team and one Rachamim, but all relating to the year to come, the rainy season coming up. And now Sukkot relates to it as well, especially the agricultural side. The Arba Minim usually relate, many of them relate to water. They're not the Arba Minim relate more to water than the harvest that we collected.
And Shemini Atzeret.
And Shemini Atzeret puts in. Ending, it's not just ending Sukkot, it's ending all of all the Tishrei month. It's ending Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, right, and the whole Tishrei season. And that you see in the Korban that's brought, it's the same Korban as Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
True, but Shemini Atzeret doesn't have an Ach itself.
No, the Ach is when Shemini Atzeret is concluded, it comes together with Sukkot. Sukkot, we say keep 7 days of Sukkot, and on the eighth day, an Atzeret. No, the Ach introduces the whole, the first time the Mitzuko begins in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, I think, Lamed Gimel. It says, Ach v'chodesh ha-shvi, okay, then Chag Sukkot Hashem Shivat Yamin, Yom Rishon Mikol Kodesh, Yom Hashmini Mikol Kodesh. So Sukkot with the 8 day goes with both of them.
Okay, thank you very much. Guten Moed.
A good night to everybody.